A nice short reading. Now you're hoping a nice short sermon. No, it's not your lucky day then. So this is the second talk in our series on light. And hopefully I'm building on what Chris Chalmers talked about last week in the All In. She gave an excellent talk, pinched quite a lot of what I was going to say. And she shared this picture of all as lights on the cross. And I thought that's really excellent, this idea that we're all lights shining, and as a community we can shine bright. And some of us may feel that we shine brighter than others, maybe things in our lives that make us feel we haven't got a lot to shine about. But that doesn't matter, because we're in community and together we make a light. So we're going to try and build on that this morning as we look at this idea of that we are the light of the world. Our previous vicar, Jeff, used to joke that I was the non-Anglican on the ministry team. It's probably true, actually, but he'd be very proud of me today, because I've got a very traditional sermon with 3 points, and they all begin with the same letter. Okay? So, "You are the light of the world," said Jesus to the crowds sitting on the hillside. So I want to suggest that being a light of the world is a privilege, a pressure, and practical. So being the light of the world is a privilege. In John chapter 8, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." He is the light of the world. And that's our theme, I think, for Christmas Day. But here it says that we, not Jesus, but we are the light of the world. And I think the Bible is very clear, and I think hopefully we'll agree, that much of this world is a dark place. Now, where do we see hope as we come to the end of 2019? It's not been a great year for billions of people on the planet. The reality of climate change is growing. Plastic pollution seems to be a big thing, which is important. And I don't know if you've been following this conference taking place in Spain with all the leaders. I think we're going to pray for it later, aren't we, Pete? But the UN Secretary General said this at the opening of the meeting: "The point of no return is no longer over the horizon." The point of no return for the planet is no longer over the horizon. It's in sight. We can see it now because of what's happening. The war in Syria is no nearer ending, and there are lots of other conflicts in the world. At home, if you've forgotten, we have a general election on Thursday. I've yet to find anybody who's excited about that. An election when trust in politicians has never been so low. I was reading one blog that said basically people are having to decide to vote for the least worst candidate. And it feels a bit like that, doesn't it? Politicians are not going to bring the hope that people long for. And then in our own social circles, at work, in our neighbourhood, in our communities, people seem to live with their heads down, not really, almost head in the sand, not facing what's happening in the world. But you see, if people exclude God from their lives, then how do you expect them to live? How do they make sense of what's happening? How do they make moral decisions? How do they learn how to treat others well and live day to day? People who live life without God, the Bible says, are living life without hope, or with very little hope, and without the forgiveness and the peace that only Jesus can bring. And that is darkness. When the Bible talks about darkness, it's that kind of thing. It's not physical darkness, it's a darkness in the mind, really, that blinds people to what's happening. So I want to try a little exercise. I want us to imagine we're on a crowded train. Can you do that in your mind? Try and do this. That goes into a tunnel. And then the train breaks down and the lights fail. What's going to happen? What are people going to do? Scream? They're going to scream, aren't they? They're going to scream. What is the most important need at that moment? What's the one thing that they need more than anything else at that moment? Light! Yeah, all of you need light, don't you? But then you suddenly remember that in your pocket you have your mobile phone. I have taken the Wi-Fi off, so if any emails come in, I won't read them. And suddenly you remember that your phone has a torch, and you see it. And so you take your mobile phone out of your pocket, and you put your torch on. What do people start to do? Yeah, maybe get their phones out as well. They calm down, and you're able to lead them out of the tunnel into safety. Okay, you're a hero. because you saved all those people. But was it really you that saved those people? You played a part, but it was this. It was the phone. It was the light on the phone. Now, I hope this doesn't sound too cheesy, but I'd like to suggest as Christians, we carry the equivalent of this. We carry Jesus around with us like this. And it's he that saves, and it's he that we have the privilege of introducing other people to. And our role is, in appropriate times, to take out the phone, to take out the torch, and to use the light to help other people to see. It's a privilege to do that. But actually, being the light of the world, I find, can be a pressure. Because it goes on to say, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And I kind of read that and I think I'm supposed to be a super saint, a kind of Mother Teresa type of figure who does these wonderful deeds. And then people think, God must be great. People saying things like, wow, Alan is such a wonderful, caring, kind, loving person. Nothing's too much for him. And he's a Christian. Isn't God marvelous? I want to be like Alan. I want to be a Christian. I don't think that's happened in my whole life. Maybe it's happened to you. The bar can seem very high, can't it? But inside, you see, I don't feel that good. I don't feel like a good enough Christian. So I do one of two things. I feel this pressure to pretend to look good on the outside. So I do that. I pretend that I'm a good Christian. And it's not the real me, but I project this image that people think Alan Bartlett must be a good Christian. Or I do what Jesus talked about in this passage, I hide. He talks about taking your light from under a bowl. He used to say a bushel. I never knew what a bushel was. A bushel was actually an old measurement in English history. I don't know what it means in the Bible, but it's changed it to a bowl, which I do understand. And that's what I kind of do. I go and hide under the bowl and hide my light because no one would want to see my light. It's not good enough. You know what I find helpful? To remember I don't have to be perfect. I just need to have this with me. That light shining there. So I may not be a good Christian, but I believe in a perfect God. And he lives within me by his Holy Spirit. See, we're all pilgrims on a journey. You might like to read Pilgrim's Progress, or if you don't like reading, you can watch the movie. People said to me when I became a Christian, that's the second most important book to read as a Christian behind the Bible. We're all pilgrims on a journey. And one day, we will arrive at the Golden Gate, at the city in heaven. But for now, life is a mixture of joys and sorrows, pleasure and pain, victories and defeats. I have good days and I have not so good days. But basically, I'm trying to head in the right direction. And I've got this in my pocket. Because I never go out without it. I bet you've all got your phones with you. You're on silent, hopefully, except for Chris's. So light can help people find the way, but also light shows up imperfections, doesn't it? We're in the process of decorating a bedroom. I painted the ceiling, and then Kathy said, you're not going to do any more painting while I'm recovering. So if you do come to visit her and you notice white paint coming down the walls around the edge, it's deliberate. Because I haven't got to paint the walls. So I thought I'd have a little look at the wallpaper and see if I can get away with not re-wallpapering. And from a distance, it looks fine. But when I put the wall light on, you see all these little imperfections? You think, rats. Because that's what light does too. It shows up imperfections. But I want to suggest that when we think about that in our own life, I've discovered that people respond when we're willing to be vulnerable and admit that we struggle. That's not a barrier to being a light. I read this book, Searching for Sunday. It's one of the books in the church book club. And Kathy read it and went to discuss it. I didn't agree with quite a bit of it. It's not the greatest book I've ever read. But in one chapter, she challenges the church. And she says that there are more authentic relationships in AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, than there are in most churches. Because people in AA are willing to be vulnerable and share their weakness. And she makes this very challenging statement. I understood that people bond more deeply over shared brokenness than they do over shared beliefs. And I find that very encouraging. So we don't have to be perfect. We can connect with people and share with people as we're willing to be vulnerable and share our weaknesses. And we can tell them, yeah, we're on a journey, which has good things and not so good things. But we're on a journey, we're not traveling alone. At Christmas we remember Emmanuel, God is with us. And so we get the torch out of the pocket and show them the light. So it can be a pressure, but also it's very practical. And Chris last week talked about some practical ideas, so I wasn't going to say much to build on it. But there's probably not a better time of year than Advent and Christmas to seek to share this light with other people. And can I encourage you to take some risks? If you're someone who's doing one of those two things I said, if you're someone who's kind of pretending, maybe let the mask down a little bit and be real with people. Or if you realise you're someone who's hidden it under the bowl, lift the bowl a little bit. You only have to lift it a little bit and the light will come straight out. So just can I encourage you? Just some quick ideas. Maybe every morning, pray for opportunities to share something of his love and his light through what you do and say. Probably shared this before, but my wife Kathy often would go out in the morning, and as she went out the door, say, "Oh Lord Jesus, what exciting adventures are we going to have today?" And when you pray like that, it's amazing. You get adventures. It's amazing how you get opportunities when you expect them. Because I was preparing this talk, I was more tuned into this. And continuing the mobile phone theme, I went to the phone shop to change my phone, to upgrade it. This is my new phone. And they're very helpful. So we worked out which phone I was having. And then the assistant, she said, "Do you want me to transfer all your data from your old phone to your new phone?" That's a no-brainer for me. Yes, I do. And so the two of us sat for an hour watching these two phones, you know, just, and we got talking, and I won't go into all the detail, and we talked, and I just had an opportunity to share my faith. I don't get many opportunities, but I think part of the reason I got it was because I was thinking and tuned in to it. So I'd encourage you to go out expecting opportunities. You may not share everything, you may just say a little bit. My second little idea was just to use your phone as a reminder. I keep plugging it, but it does go everywhere, doesn't it? More or less everywhere. So maybe it can be a reminder that you carry the light of the world in you. Maybe help you to pray through the day. Maybe every time you get your phone out, you'd pray. That would be a lot of prayer for most people. A one-liner. And then I was struck last week by what Chris said. Chris, I went to the right zone, writing zone, last week. And in the right zone, you were given, I've left it behind, you were given four areas to think about where you could be a light. The world, the UK, Birmingham, and Selly Park. Yeah, four areas. So that got me thinking. That's quite helpful. So I was thinking maybe we could think how we could be a light. So in the world, you think of how maybe we can pray for the world more often. Maybe we can write. We've got some mission partners at church. I've never thought to send them a Christmas card, ever. Maybe as a church we should send them one, but maybe we could do that or give some gift in some way to think about the world. UK and Birmingham, I would encourage us to pray for our country and our city. I encourage you to vote, to think carefully, but also other ways we can care. I noticed last night there was it around the world people slept out to highlight homelessness. Or maybe we can contribute in some way to give homeless people a meal. Just different ways that we can do that. We could volunteer. And then with our neighbourhood, actually think of individuals or families that we know that we live near or work with and pray and think of something practical. I don't need to give you the ideas. You can think of them. Invite them in, do something, chat with them. Even with family and friends, take time to think how you can be the light or I can be the light at Christmas rather than the one that's causing the difficulties. And then my final thought stemmed from a church prayer meeting a few weeks ago, and Bobby led the prayer meeting, and she talked about playing a game when you go in the shops called Where's Jesus? Do you remember the game Where's Wally? I thought it was really good. She said, you go in somewhere like, I don't know, Sainsbury's or Wilkinson's or wherever, and you try and find Jesus amongst everything. And I've been doing it, and it's very difficult. I was in Bourneville Garden Centre. I could have even bought a letterbox with SC on it for Santa Claus for £400. But I couldn't see any real Jesus. But in our lives, in our homes, where's Jesus? And just think, where's he in our Christmas? Make him central. So in summary, it's a privilege, I think, to belong to Jesus and to bring light into this dark world. But it can be a pressure, because if you're like me, you don't feel good enough. But we're all on a journey, and being real and being authentic is very highly valued in our culture today. People respond to that. So we're just going to finish with a minute or two of quiet, and perhaps you can think what you could do. What does God want you to do and me to do to be a bit more of a light this Christmas, so we don't miss the opportunity? Thank you.
Thank you, Lord, for the great privilege of you using us in your kingdom. Thank you that you challenge us with how we can bring your light into our community and into our world. Lord, would you continue to speak to us and equip us to rise to those challenges, to take risks, and to trust you as we live wholeheartedly for you and shine your light around us. Thank you, Lord. Amen.